Please turn your Bibles with me to Psalms chapter 50. Psalms chapter 50. Psalms chapter 50, we're going to start in verse 14. Bible says in Psalms 50 in verse 14, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God saith, What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenants in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partakers with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother, and slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." Lord, I am completely helpless right now. God, I can't do anything. I have an outline in front of me, but Lord, words on my own are nothing. And God, I pray that you would just use me as a vessel, and may your word speak to hearts tonight. Lord, I love you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And verse 4, as kind of an introduction, a quick introduction, God is gathering all of Israel together, and he's gathering all those people that sacrificed unto him. And God wants to make something known. He looks at them and he says, "I am righteous." He says, "I am the ultimate judge." He says, "No matter what people may say against me, I want you to know this. I am God, even thy God. I don't need your goats. I don't need the blood from the goats. I don't need the lamb. I don't need the rocks on the altar. I don't need anything you give me. The only reason I want you to sacrifice is to show your thanksgiving to me. The only reason I even want you on this earth is for one reason, and that is to bring glory to me." But in verse 16, he changes his gear from speaking to the righteous, and now he turns, and now he says in verse 16, "But unto the wicked." And the first thing we see tonight is a word to the wicked. Now, sometimes when preachers, when they get a word that they want to emphasize, they look that word up in the Greek, or maybe in the Hebrew in this case. And then when you're done with that, you look that word up in the Webster's Dictionary, and then I give a definition to you tonight. But the next four verses isn't Webster's dictionary definition. The next four verses is God's definition of the word wicked. Now, when you hear the word wicked, oftentimes you think of maybe people in heathen lands, and you think of people who do certain types of sins, and you categorize people who have that term wicked. But tonight, as God gives his definition of wicked, I want you to think about your own heart, and I want you to think about your own life. In verse 16, God says, "But unto the wicked, God saith, What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth?" The first thing we see in verse 16 is a false advertisement. When my family and I was on deputation, there was one restaurant we'd always like to go to, if you even want to call it a restaurant. We love to go to Wendy's. I don't know why. And my dad wanted us to stay healthy all the time, so instead of getting French fries, we had to get a baked potato. And somehow that would keep us healthy. I'm not sure the thinking involved in that. But when I came to West Coast, like many of you freshmen, I wanted to get a job. I needed to get a job in order to stay here for these 4 years. And God gave me a job at Wendy's. And I worked at Wendy's for 2 years. And the one thing I wanted to do, the first time I got my paycheck, is I wanted to get a number 6, the spicy chicken, because I love chicken. And I love Wendy's. And I wanted to get it with a large French fry, because I could never get fries before. And what's interesting is when you pull up to the drive-thru, when you're looking up on the window, you see the billboards of all these nice pictures. And you see, wow, man, that number 6 looks so good. The chicken is so big, the tomato is just right, the mayonnaise has just the right spread, and you look at it, and it's great, and you finally order that burger, and the waitress gives it to you, or the waiter, and you get in, man, it looks nice in that wrapper. And you sit down in your seat, and you eat your fries first, because you have to eat your fries first, because they get cold faster. After you're done eating the fries, you begin to open up the wrapper, and you look at it again, then you look up at the billboard, then look at your burger again. It doesn't match. Oh, it's the number 6. Oh, it's got mayonnaise on it, it's got tomato, it's got lettuce, it's got all the right ingredients, but man, it don't look as good as that billboard. It doesn't look anything like that. You know what it says in verse 16? It says, but unto the wicked. God's not talking to righteous people. He's talking to wicked. And in verse 16, it says, what has that to do? Declare my statutes. This is my law. This is my word. This is my precept. These are wicked people that are holding God's statutes, and they're declaring them. And they're using them. It says, thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth. These are wicked people that are using God's covenants and proclaiming them through their mouth. And they're trying to cover themselves. And I'm here to tell you something tonight. Just because you look good on the outside doesn't mean you're good on the inside. Just because you serve the Lord on the outside doesn't mean you serve him on the inside. Does your life match the billboard? You're the sandwich. Christ is the billboard. You're a Christian. What does the word Christian mean? To be like Christ. Do you match the billboard? Don't use God as a device to cover your sin. Don't use God as a mask to cover the filthy face that you really are. Sometimes we use God to make ourselves look good in front of our friends. We use God to make ourselves look good in front of pastor. Maybe to make ourselves look good in front of our room leader or our dorm soup. My friend tonight, don't be a false advertisement. But in verse 17, we see, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. But we see in verse 17, a fury to admonition. That's a sin. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him. Thou hast been partakers with adulterers. The third definition of wicked God gives us is a friendship to the adversary. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14 says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. In verse 15, he says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Do you understand tonight that the very reason you were even born on this earth was to give glory to Jesus Christ? Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7 says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Since we're made for God's glory, I think it's safe to say that every time we do something against it, God doesn't like that. You will become who you are around. James chapter 4 and verse 4, we know this verse says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, knowing not that the friendship of this world is enmity of God. Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We all know, most of us in this room know tonight, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is the highest paid athlete in the entire world. And up to a couple years ago, he was really famous. But as we know that Tiger Woods fell into some sin, he got caught having affairs all over America, not with just one lady, but all over America. And when Tiger Woods stood in front of the press and he gave his confession, I'm not going to read most of it, but just the last few sentences he said, I was wrong. I was foolish. I don't get to play by different rules. The same boundaries that apply to everyone apply to me. I brought this shame on myself. I hurt my wife, my kids, my mother, my wife's family, my friends, my foundation, and kids all around the world who admire me. I've had a lot of time to think about what I've done. My failures have made me look at myself in a way I never wanted to before. It's now up to me to make amends, and that starts by never repeating the same mistake I've made. It's up to me to start living a life of integrity. If there's one person in this room, if there's one type of person in this world who I believe could make a difference, who I believe you could say know the ropes, they know how to be a Christian, they've been there and they've done that, that's the PKs and the MKs. Because we've grown up in church. Hey, you know what? I was an MK, I was a PK, I was a DK, and I was any other K you could think about. My dad's done it all. And I've seen churches planted, I've seen things happen in my life. But we're not the exception. We don't get to play by different rules. We don't get to make our own boundaries. And in verse 19, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Did you get that last part of the verse? I read this all the time. I didn't even catch it until just last night. It says, thy tongue frameth deceit. We know how to make our words look good. If I were to take a picture and stick it up on a wall, it would look okay. But if you put a picture frame around it, it looks better, right? A picture frame makes things look better. And we know how to say things and make it look okay. There's a verse that really spoke to my heart. 2 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Condemned them with an overthrow, making them ensamples unto those after that should live ungodly. But listen to this. And delivered just Lot. Lot was righteous. Lot vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelleth among them. And seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. A filthy addiction. I love talking. If you guys know me, I probably talk in my sleep. You could ask my roommates. Talking is something I enjoy doing, and sometimes I find myself being really sarcastic. I like being sarcastic, and I'm accused of having a really dry sense of humor. And sometimes what's funny to me is it's funny to somebody else. Sometimes I'll say a joke to somebody, and everybody else is laughing, but they're not laughing, but I'll keep going because, hey, I'm attention right now. I'm getting the attention that I want. I'm short, so I try to do things to get my attention. And sometimes when I say things just to get me attention on myself, but I'm telling you something tonight, that's just framing my deceit. That's not something God likes. God calls that wicked. I had to think about that. I had to try to change my humor because my humor is funny to me and it may be funny to other people, but it's not funny to that one person. My friend tonight, Lot, the reason he was caught up in filthy conversation is because he involved himself with the wrong types of people. But in verse 20, the last definition God gives of wicked, thou sittest and speakest against thy brother and slandereth thine own mother's son. We see a fellowship abused. God has given us our mom and our dad. He has given us our siblings. They are a gift from God. Are you okay with your mom and dad tonight? When you left college, were you okay with them? Is everything all right? Is your spirit okay with everything? I'll be honest, I wasn't real close with my brother Brett until I came to college and I spent 2 years without him. Then I realized how much I missed him, how much I missed antagonizing him. I realized how much I actually did love him. And when I called him, I would say, Brett, I miss you. And I meant it. I don't think he knew I meant it until we came here and we started spending time together. We don't have our siblings forever. You're going to grow up. You're not even going to have your mom and dad forever. You've been hearing prayer requests, people getting tumors. Mom and dad's dying. You're not going to have them forever. Are you abusing your fellowship that God has given you tonight? So I've just given you God's definition of the word wicked. But in verse 21, something happens that's kind of different. Verse 21, the Bible says, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. If you look in verse 3, our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall come down and destroy before him. And then you read verse 21, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. My brother's not here, so I could say this story. When we were kids, my mom told me the story. You know how you are when you're kids, you can't touch the stove. Because if you touch the stove, you're going to get burnt. And especially when the stove's on, and it doesn't really matter if it's on or off, your mom just doesn't want you to get burnt. And oftentimes when my mom and dad wasn't looking, we would try to touch the stove, and my mom would see us, and she would say, Tim, Brett, don't touch the stove. It's going to burn you. And when you're 5 and 6, you know what that word burn means. Well, one day, my brother looked around, didn't see my mom standing right there, and he made a dash for the stove. And normally my mom tries to stop him, but, you know, my mom just kind of sat back and said, it's going to have to learn. So she stood there, and she watched. And as my brother touched the stove, he was like, oh, now I know why my mom said I shouldn't touch the stove. Because right now my finger really hurts. And as he took his finger off, he began to scream and cry. And my mom looked at him and said, Brett, I told you that's why you're not supposed to touch the stove. Right now, our world is wicked. It's ungodly. It's going in the wrong direction. And we're walking towards the stove, and normally God will stop you. Normally he'll put his hand out and try to help us avoid touching that stove. But I believe God right now is up in heaven, and he's watching. I've told him. I told him if they do that, it's going to be wrong. I've told him what's going to happen. You're going to get burnt. Go ahead. Touch it. And the first thing we see in verse 21 is a deranged people. Because the next part says, I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. A people that is completely confused about their understanding of God. We think, hey, I've been doing this all along and nothing's happened. I haven't got burnt yet. Maybe it's okay. Maybe it's fine. We're a deranged people. But second part of verse 21 says, thou thoughtest I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee. We also see a discipline promise. Do you understand something tonight? That God will judge us for our sin. That's what he's saying in verse 3. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. Judgment will come. It will. Don't think it's not going to happen. Don't touch the stove. But at the end of verse 21, I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. A dignity perished. You understand something now? We're a very proudful people. Well, I don't know why we're proudful. What do we have to be proudful about? Do you know what I am? I am dirt that walks around and that has a mouth. I'm just dirt. That's all I am. I am nothing special. Maybe I could speak well. Maybe I could yell loud. Maybe I'm really short if that's special. God is so much greater and so much better than us. And he looks at us and we're like fleas in his sight. But he doesn't look at us like fleas. We have absolutely nothing tonight. And someday God will set us in order through judgment. But in verse 22, God never leaves us hanging. He's always going to pull us back up. In verse 22, he says, "Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces." God always gives us a conclusion to consider. I'm so thankful tonight that God actually loves us, despite our wickedness, despite the fact that he just called me wicked. For some reason, he still loves me. For some reason, he still cares about me. For some reason, I've lived these 4 years of my life for myself. And God, for some reason, still loves me. God gives us our sentence postponed. God is literally ready to tear us into pieces. We've read the Old Testament. We know what God's capable of doing. We know he could open up the earth and swallow up thousands of Israelites. We know what God's capable of doing. He can close the waters on an entire Egyptian army. We know what God is capable of doing. We know the wrath that he's capable of. But he's going to postpone it. He's going to postpone it for us. Verse 22, "Lest I tear in pieces and there be none to deliver." Do you understand something tonight? That we are hanging by our wickedness. And nobody can help us. Nobody can save us except, "So shall all Israel shall be saved, as is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He is my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tearing, O my God." There is only one person's world that can save us, and that is Jesus Christ. That is why he has postponed our sentence. Oh, but my friends, in verse 23, he gives us a sinner's pardon. "Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." Those people that will give the proper praises and due to God, he will show the salvation of God. Are you wicked tonight? Is there sin in your life? Oh, we're good, except there's none good, no, not one. God will show you his salvation if we just turn to him.